Yes, good morning to you if you're just joining us. This is the U105 phone-in. Now, hair loss is what's distressing for most people. For young men, it's a real setback. But for women of any age, it must be particularly distressing. And I want to speak to a woman who works in the field of dealing with people who have to cope with hair loss. It's Brigine King. Brigine, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Brigine, you're based in Castlewellan. I'm sure you have many people who come to your salon and they have a problem with alopecia or some reason why their hair is thinning. Women in particular must be very distressed when they come to talk to you.
Yes, it is. It's got to be now one of those topics that for a while nobody talked about. And I have been in the hairdressing business for 23 years. The last 5 years I've sort of educated myself as I've seen it a problem, an ongoing problem. Young girls coming in stressed with exams, etc. Men, young guys, footballers, who also had experienced the thinning of hair, the genetic hair loss. You know, let's be quite frank, hair loss is appalling. Whether it's the result of stress, alopecia or cancer, the results are all the same. You feel quite naked, exposed and vulnerable, and it's part of your core identity, and this has been stripped away. So I have then decided to just, you know, travel the field, find out the best solutions, etc., and to give somebody back, you know, their self-esteem. So, yeah, we have a hair loss clinic here in Castlewellan. I received an All-Star in Croke Park last Thursday for the hair loss clinic.
Yeah, this is a business All-Star accreditation, which is a real compliment to what you're doing. Having said that, Brigine, if a young fella comes in, he's like 25 years of age and his hair's thinning, and it's pretty obvious that, you know, his father has a bald head, it looks like as if it's hereditary. Is the advice to a fella like that not to, you know, cut it really short, cut it right back, shave it back, and just be a cool dude without hair? Is the resolving the issue with blokes not so much easier than coping with a young woman?
Yes, well, it is non-invasive, the treatments that we do. So, yes, with young guys, you know, nowadays, you know, men's more vain, aren't they? And young guys are more vain. The barbering industry has really kicked off because men are very, very into their looks, into their hair. Like, alopecia and genetic is a male or female pattern. Baldness sort of starts at the temples of the head, and it is genetic. I do tend to say that, you know, are you happy enough to shave this all off, you know, and just sort of embrace the whole bald look? A lot of guys don't go for that. A lot of them, you know, it does affect their mental health. It does affect their whole image. So we do non-invasive. There's a man, Joe Kelly from Dublin, who is an All-Ireland barber, and he comes to the salon once a month, and he does the gents for myself. And it is like a tea party, like, you know, giving us some sort of significant look to the pattern of baldness.
And what about, because this is, I don't want to dismiss the men, and maybe I should be more conscious of how difficult it is for a fella losing his hair, but for a young woman, it must be heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. What do you do for the women?
So it's devastating. Yeah, we do have a lot of young ladies who have been
hair. I'm just going to interrupt you a second, Brigine, because your phone seems to be dying on me slightly. If you could just maybe hold it up straight or whatever, it seems to just be coming and going and with the signal. But go ahead.
Sorry. Can you hear me any better now?
Yeah, that's better. That's better.
For the young ladies, you know, they would come into the salon, and a lot of young women do have, like, the widened part, which is the thinning of the hair in the scalp. And they sort of find this, in, you know, through menopausal, after having a baby, you know, all down, like, there's a lot of it all down to maybe their health, if they have a thyroid. If it's like very low in iron, they sort of tend to have that tinning off the top of the scalp. So I do like a tea parting, and a tea parting is like match it up to their own hair colour, shape it and style, to keep them looking as natural and unidentifiable as possible. You don't want nobody to know you're wearing a piece. You don't want nobody to know that you're wearing a wig. The products that I use are absolutely amazing, and we do sort of bespoke them to the client's needs. So, you know, the ladies can have, like, their own sort of hair. I always tell them, bring in a picture of how you look, like, you know, before you lost the hair. I mean, bespoke and identify it to yourself. So there is lots of different, you know, you're not alone on this. I always sort of tell them, you know, like, you don't have to sort of, you know, suffer in silence. The treatments for women is, whether you call it a wig, a weave, or a hairpiece extensions, you know, my aim is to give them that hair that looks natural and feels great. You know, it is awful for a lady. Like, it is your whole identity and it's taken away from you.
And finally, just one question, and I'm going to use a sportsman as the example. David Silva, who plays for Manchester City, who had a problem with his hair, who now has the most impressive hair in the Premier League, and he's not wearing a wig. What has he got done to his head?
So, I'm not too sure what he's got done, but there is treatments which a lot of men do travel abroad for. They would maybe go to Turkey or Spain, and they're like implants where the hair is sort of taken out of the back of the neck and sort of implanted to the top. Now, this costs a lot of money, so you would need to be a footballer and be on a very good wage to be fit to afford this treatment.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, a lot of men, a lot of women don't have that, especially if you're sick and you're going through cancer and you're quite vulnerable. You're not working, you know, and you need to have something that is affordable. Now, the trust are very good and do give out pieces. But, you know, again, it just stands there where there's no sort of funding for, like, top pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole conversation up to this point has been about natural hair loss and our thoughts with anyone going through chemotherapy and losing their hair as well. Will a cancer patient's hair automatically grow back whenever the treatment is finished?
Yeah, so most cancer patients' hair do grow back. Yeah, the follicle gets reboosted again because it's all got to do with your whole immunity system. So the follicle gets very strengthened again. It goes through the whole hair cycle again, and it does come back. Most cases, a lot of the hair that comes back. A lot of ladies can relate to this. It comes back quite curly and wavy and no pigment. So it would come back quite grey and very, very curly, very, very tight curly and quite good texture of hair. It does take a while for it to recover. It would take maybe up to anything from like 12, maybe to 24 months for that hair to recover again.
Well, it is very important that professionals like yourself are available, and you've been honoured for the work that you're doing. And good on you, Bridgine King, who's a hair loss specialist across in Castle Whelan. And Amy Louise is available to have a conversation with us. Good morning, Amy Louise.
Good morning. Hi.
You've been through this irritation of hair loss in your teenage years. How did you cope, Amy Louise?
Yeah, well, I first started to lose my hair when I was 16. So it just sort of was out of the blue and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. I went to the doctor and the doctors didn't really know. There's not a lot of knowledge about alopecia. And that's when it got worse. Mom took me to Bridgine. So she was very, very supportive and she gave me a wig and she cut my hair and gave me a wig and everything. But for me, a wig wasn't really the right option for me. So I basically wore the wig for about a week and then I just decided one day to go into school without anything, and I haven't worn a wig since.
And at this moment in time, would people notice that you've got hair loss or not?
Yeah, I'm completely bald at the minute. Like, I don't have any hair at all.
And what's the reaction from your friends? I think you've just started university. What's your reaction from your friends? Do they talk to you about it? Do they have a sense that you've got an illness, or do they think it's really cool?
Well, a lot of people do confuse alopecia with, like, having cancer. So I do get a lot of people coming up to me and saying, like, how's my treatment going and, like, chemotherapy and all. And it's sort of heartbreaking because I have to say to them that I don't have cancer. So, but I started university there last year and it was very difficult at the start. A lot of people stared, but you just sort of have to get on with it. And I made loads of new friends. Like, people are so nice. My friends were very cautious to start to talk about it. But once they knew I was open about it, then they were like happily talking about it as well. So.
Well, in a way, because I'm very aware of a guy who keeps his head shaven, like the Kojak Yul Brynner type look, or names from years ago that maybe you don't identify with, but the modern day shaven headed guy can look really, really good. Do you feel that your look is a particularly appealing look?
Well, it's just me, you know. I didn't really feel myself in a wig, so I felt better in myself when I didn't have my wig on, because I felt like I was faking it, or that I wasn't good enough to be it. I had to cover up. I didn't really like that feeling, so I just decided that I wanted to be myself and to just go out without any wig, and that's just how I handle it. That's not for everyone, though. A lot of people think that wearing a wig, you know, that helps a lot of people's confidence. And that just wasn't me, though. That wasn't for me.
Yeah, and you're saying exactly what I'm thinking, Amy Louise. For some people, they will always want to wear the wig. But if they feel as good as you feel and look as well as you obviously look, well, then there's no need for it. There's no need for hair. That's that's the trick. Being accepting of how well you look.
Yeah, well, a lot of people say, like, how can I do it? But I'm just being me. Like, I'm not doing anything special about it. I just learned to accept myself. It was very, very hard for me at the start. Now, I was really upset and stuff. And I'd wake up and there'd be hair in my bed and stuff. And it was awful going through it. But once I got through it, it was grand. I'm just, it's been 3 years now, so I'm used to it by now.
Well, fair play to you. You know, it was a challenge for a young woman and you've handled it perfectly. Thank you, Amy Louise, for describing it to us. Thank you to Bridging for talking to us as well, who's helping a lot of people who don't have the confidence that Amy Louise actually has. And that's Bridging King, who's from Castle Wellan. Amy Louise, thank you indeed, and continue success with the studies.